The title of our piece is called "Can You See What I'm Hearing?" And we're going to be looking at a critical framework for algorithmic synesthesia and multisensory art. So let's first look at what exactly is synesthesia. It's a neurological condition where basically stimulation one sensory input leads to stimulation in another. So for example, this could be very simple, like hearing a certain sound and associating that and seeing a certain color or shape. It's a very rare condition. It occurs in roughly, I think, 1 in 20,000 individuals. And one of the main concepts in synesthesia is this idea of cross-modal sensory interaction. So this is, in effect, synesthesia itself. So the idea of one sensory input interacting and influencing another sensory input. One particular area which we are interested in, which is can be brought about by technology and doesn't have to, you don't need a neurological condition to have this experience, is the idea of algorithmic synesthesia. So this refers to the ability of computers to translate one sensory input into another form. So in effect, creating cross-modal interactions. So for example, the most basic one maybe could be, and basic and common could be the idea of turning sound data into information that drives and feeds the animation of a visual. So you'd see this in any media player, like your audio visualizer. So this is, in effect, algorithmic synesthesia. It's a cross-modal interaction that's brought about through technology. And multisensory art is innately algorithmically synesthetic, with different sensory inputs kind of playing off each other and interacting with each other. And through this, you can create really immersive experiences. And this is something we're interested in as computational artists. So one of the key appeals of algorithmic synesthesia and multisensory art is this idea of the pleasure of binding. So Mitchell and Whitelaw in 2008 investigated the appeal of algorithmic synesthesia and fused synchronous audiovisuals. And they highlighted the experience of sensory binding and correlation between sound and visuals as being neurologically pleasing for humans. As Ramachandran and Hurston pointed out, there is a satisfying aha response when sensory information presents meaning after it is binded and correlated. So there's this image that we talked about in our presentation of a bunch of blotches, black and white blotches, that seem to have no real particular form or anything. But upon closer inspection, some of the blotches, you'd start to realize form an image, and the image of a Dalmatian. And so this realization moment where you suddenly see this meaning present itself is the process of perceptual binding, and it's a satisfying neurological experience for humans. One thing to note is binding is sticky, so once you have formed this connection and correlation, you can't unform it easily. So yeah, going back to audio visuals, which is something we're particularly interested in, and our artifact will look at the correlation between certain sounds and audio qualities and its effect on visual output produces the same aha moment, and it's this correlation that kind of sticks and is a pleasing experience, not only for an audience, but also for, as an artist, it is there is a certain pleasure in kind of translating sound into visuals and like seeing this cross-modal interaction. So like I mentioned, one of the key things we want to look out for in our research project is we want to develop a sort of critical framework for the development of multisensory art or algorithmically synesthetic experiences. So one thing we want to study is whether there is a case for universal patterns of perceptions derived from studies of synesthetes and non-synesthetes. So through research done throughout the years, a lot of studies have shown a degree of universality in cross-modal perception. So for example, high-pitched tones tend to be described as higher, lighter in color, smaller, and less rounded than low pitch tones. So this is found across studies such as Marx in 1975 and Ward et al. In 2006. So these consistencies in sensory associations may reflect kind of inherent cortical connections which are present at birth and can influence a child's perceptual and language development. So these things kind of, we're born with these associations and they stick throughout our lifetimes. These consistencies in sensory associations suggest automatic and innate cortical connections which are present at birth and affect further learning of perceptual and language development. So this is looked at by Spector and Mora as well. Another interesting study was one done by Jay Ward in 2008, which looked to investigate the aesthetic appeal of visuals created by synesthetes versus non-synesthetes in response to certain sounds. So this study had three groups: synesthete composers, non-synesthete composers, and non-synesthete discerners. So the composer groups were tasked to create visual images for a particular sound using color hue and abstract basic shapes, while the discerner group was asked to judge which visual suited the audio more. So visual by synesthete versus visual by non-synesthete. And what was found was a strong preference for the images created by synesthetes. So this indicates an automatic innate ability to detect audio-visual synchrony, even in non-synesthetes. So while synesthetes may have first-hand access to associations through their experiences, and non-synesthetes must generate and evaluate the associations using some kind of combination of logic or bottom-up access. So though synesthetes have it easier, there's still some kind of inherent ability to form audiovisual connections. So this study maybe suggests that looking at synesthetes and their kind of outlook on creating visuals based on audio, maybe we can use their kind of insight to as a potential map for producing algorithmic synesthetic work. And it could be perhaps there could be a case for a design model in creating appealing and synchronous multisensory art. So on the flip side, we also want to consider the cultural bias that occurs in perception, or as some call it, the anthropology of the senses. So by this we mean we want to look at the cultural bias that may form the meaning or certain aesthetic value of a sensory input. So I mean, cultural bias needs no further explanation. So what may be deemed desirable in one country may be considered bad in another. For example, in some East Asian cultures, the fruit durian is known to be a delicacy, but is often regarded in Western cultures having a putrid taste and smell. And looking further into like culture-specific iconography shows that aesthetic value and the meaning attached to symbols may vary greatly across cultures. So, for example, with the case of dragons, in East Asian culture, they traditionally symbolize potent and auspicious powers. And it's a symbol of power, strength, good luck for the people who are worthy of it. Whereas in Christian culture, the dragon is often represented as evil. So in St. John's Book of Revelation, Satan is described as a great dragon, flaming red with 7 heads and 10 horns. So in considering human environmental engagement and how it is made literally meaningful, anthropologists have stressed that meaning is socially constructed and thus culturally specific. The creation of a critical framework for aesthetic value and meaning for multisensory art needs to be culturally nuanced, and no universal rules or design models can apply. They'd have to be tailored for each audience, I guess. So what does this mean in terms of what we can propose as a critical framework for creation of multisensory art? So as discussed, a universal framework cannot be proposed easily without major caveats. So sensory perception is a highly complex physical and cognitive process. It is formed by our neurological wires and, I guess, contaminated by our cultural biases. This, of course, feeds into the perennial discussion of nature versus nurture. However, some consistencies found in perceptual association, for example, high-pitched tone and bright color, suggest that there is some underlying and innate perceptual patterns that exist across all humans, regardless of culture. Our framework hopes to consider these sensory universalities in perceptual association to form a rough and basic map for the creation of audiovisual artifacts that are synchronous and pleasurable. So our artifact is basically an audiovisual demonstration of the cultural biases that occur in perceptual association, but it also hopes to implement some of the known perceptual patterns that occur when hearing a sound. So the visuals played around with the idea of sensory binding, leaving object clues by distorting and partially concealing certain video images. So our methodology involved Jin Yuan and a friend of ours, Adam McPherson, creating the sound pieces, adding random generic and random culturally specific audio samples, which are distorted to different degrees. And the visuals made by myself, Max, and Cheng were created in response to the sound pieces and are algorithmically synesthetic in that they are audio reactive. And one thing to note is that during creation, both participants were not privy to what the samples were. So this invited some of the individual's personal cultural bias to contaminate the pieces, and also meant that we weren't influenced by the knowledge of what the samples were to then choose our specific images. So for example, Adam and Jin Yuan produced two very different pieces. Jin Yuan's piece was higher in pitch, in sound profile, and less muffled. So this led to more vibrant colors and more sharp and structured shapes and animations. And there was what seemed to be a city pop sample and just cityscape noise. And this informed the footage choice of Tokyo in the audio, in the visual piece. And sounds of trains and chatter were reflected by the walking footage, kind of reflecting the idea of daily life and one's daily commute. And on the other hand, we had Adam's piece, which was lower and more bass-centric in sound and more muffled. So the colors were darker, less vibrant. The shapes were rounder and more fluid. And the animations, too, were more fluid. And there was a certain chant sample. And for me personally, it sounded a lot like a football hooligans, so that kind of informed the choice of footage in the visual. And there was some sounds of fireworks or explosions, and yeah, the visuals hoped to reflect this this sound and kind of behave in the same way that fireworks or explosions would. So yeah, our artifact was a very simple demonstration, but in the future, I think what we'd want to do is maybe develop on this piece and make it more of a research piece. So maybe have the process of choosing, creating visuals be automated. So maybe have options to click, like choose your type of shape, choose your color profile, and maybe have it in applications, so then people can click and then we can see what people associate with certain sounds and certain music pieces. And maybe perhaps find an aggregate from there to see if there are any trends in terms of what people associate. So that those are some of the future plans for our work. And also maybe have more kind of a more developed survey for seeing perceptual patterns. So shapes, colors, different environmental sample options, just to maybe get a wider range of information that's more detailed and perhaps more meaningful.